Obviously, in preparing this, I've been praying that the Lord will bless it and anoint it. Because without that, it's nothing, it's just information, you know. So I was wondering if I could just pray anyway here and just ask God's blessing on that, this word, you know. Father, Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus and this so great salvation, Lord, in our place in Christ. And I just ask, please, that your blessing would be on this word, Lord, that it'll be something fresh and that it'll bless and encourage in Jesus' name. So this is something that was on my heart that I thought would be good to share, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit within us, God's gift of life to all who believe on the Lord Jesus. And scripture tells us that he'll be with us forever. And the Lord said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And that's in John 14, 16 to 17. And there's Paul as well, who pointed out the same thing to the Corinthians, saying, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And the heart of this little study is found in John 4. And this is where the Lord was talking to the Samaritan woman beside Jacob's well in Samaria. And when you check the Greek text there, it was a spring or a fountain. The Greek word is pege, a deep well, apparently, but spring-fed according to scripture. And it's where the Lord referred to the Holy Spirit as the gift of God and as living water. And we'll read that passage later, but you know, I'm sure you know it backwards anyway. But he went on to say that the Spirit, once received, would then be a fountain within us. And that's that same word, pege, a fountain of living water springing up unto eternal life. So we'll look at that later. That's John 4, 14, that verse. But that's the line in particular that stood out to me. And at that time, of course, the promise of the Spirit was still something that was hidden, wasn't it? As Jesus hadn't died for our sins yet. But it was all there, just wrapped up in other terms. Whereas now we know he's talking about the promise of the Spirit through faith to everyone who would later come to believe on him. And springing up is just one word. It's halomai, meaning to leap up or gush. So he's further emphasizing that the Holy Spirit within has this same characteristic of a natural spring, which is one of freshness and a constant free-flowing supply. And that's what I would like, you know, in this little study. If it'll be something that's fresh and that will drink living water. But it would be easy to think, you know, when you read that, and you think, you know, that's not how it is with me. But we're dealing with what's true. And the Holy Spirit is within. And it's like Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? So consequently, the supply is constant too. And on our part, it's just a matter of learning to draw water. It reminds me of that old chorus from way back. You know, you remember it. It's taken from Isaiah. I'm not going to sing it. Behold, God is my salvation. Do you remember that one? Behold, it's in Isaiah 12, verses 2 to 3. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And if you check out the word wells there, it's mayan, mayan, which is one of three Hebrew words that equate exactly to the Greek word pege, which means a natural spring or fountain. So the wells of salvation are natural springs. I wasn't going to mention this at this point, but thinking about it, if I quickly just point out those three words, they'll mean something, you know, when they appear here and there as we go along. So in the Greek, you've got pege, which is a fountain or spring. And in this study, I've kind of opted for the word spring because I figured that's how we'd describe it, you know. But when you're looking these things up in scripture, you know, in a concordance or whatever, you find that the translators favor the word fountain. But essentially, it's one and the same thing, all right? However you want to describe it. But in Hebrew, these three Hebrew words that equate exactly to this word pege, they're mayan, makor, and ayin. So these all three, they mean the same thing, a fountain or spring. Mayan actually comes from the word ayin, while makor, it means the same, but it's generally used figuratively or in a metaphorical sense. You know, you use it. I won't use all these other words, but you know exactly what I mean. So ayin could be seen as the principal one, if you know, the root, if you like. And whenever you come across these, it's referring to a natural spring, or pictorially, if you like. And the Septuagint Bible verifies this. And I was thinking, just in case there's anyone who don't know, the Septuagint Bible was put together by the top people of the day about 200 years before Jesus was born. And they had been tasked with translating the Old Testament Hebrew Bible into Greek. I think it was a pharaoh that, you know, gave them this task because he wanted it for his library or something like that. But it means now that we can take a Hebrew word and see its Greek equivalent and vice versa. So the wells of salvation, you know, mentioned in that scripture we looked at, they aren't just any old kind of well, they're natural springs, mayan, which speaks of the Holy Spirit in you, in me, and in all the different ministries that the Lord has provided. Paul makes mention of this. He says, from whom, referring to the Lord, who is, you know, obviously the fountain, the source, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is in Ephesians 4:16. So it's living water that's drawn, you know, from our own well, from each other, and the ministries that the Lord has provided, the wells of salvation, and they minister life. Translators, you'll find that they often use the blanket term of well, you know, which is quite correct. But the thing is, not all wells are springs, and it makes a big difference to our understanding in regards to what the Holy Spirit wants to show us. You know, there's some that simply tap into the water table and, you know, they're replenished really by water that seeps back into the shaft to the same level as the water table around it. And there was a really good example I thought of when I was preparing this, and I was digging a hole not so long back to plant an apple tree in our garden, and about 18 inches down, I thought that's deep enough. And then I couldn't believe it as water started, you know, you could see it just beginning to collect in the bottom. And it's a heavy soil, courtesy of the builders, but because of recent rain, the water table was quite high. As I watched the water dribbling in from the sides, my neighbor who was helping, an African guy born and raised in the Gambia, who's got a great sense of humor, he said, Chris, in Africa, we call this a well. And the initial disappointment turned to laughter, and we planted it anyway, slightly raised, you know, but after 2 years and more, it's flourishing, it's doing really well. But this type of well can also tap into aquifers sometimes, which are underground chambers containing water, or else it's permeable rock layers, you know, that holds water like a sponge. Both those types of aquifers can be vast, covering hundreds, sometimes thousands of square miles. It was Moses who said to the children of Israel shortly before they crossed over the Jordan into the land, he said, "For the Lord thy God brings thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains," that's that word ayin, "and depths," that one's Tehom, "and that spring out of valleys and hills." That's in Deuteronomy, you'll find that, 8 verse 7. And so you see ayin that's mentioned there, while Tehom, depths, is probably a reference to the large aquifers that are beneath the land of Israel. But then you come to springs. And springs, by comparison, when you think about it, they can truly be seen as a gift. They require no human effort, generally, other than to put a wellhead on it for ease of use. And in fact, we used to visit one occasionally, when we were lived in Onkos, and it was up in the hills in a village called Pili, Pyli. And we'd go there and we'd fill the boot of the car up with plastic bottles of pure spring water. It just flowed constantly out of six spouts on the wellhead that had been built over it. And you just helped yourself from the spouts. No taps, anything like that. It was all very clean and cared for. But being English, we'd always give the spout, a wipe over first. And I remember it's quite noisy because the water just flowed out constantly into these grid drains, at ground level. And the water apparently is used lower down near the coast to irrigate crops and things like that. But obviously, loads went to waste. And afterwards, I always found there was a strong urge, and I know you thought I was going to say visit the loo, but it wasn't that. No, you just felt you should turn it off somehow, so as not to let it all go to waste. But of course, there's no valve or anything. It just keeps on giving, which is the nature of a spring. And think of that, and in terms with the Lord within us. And like I said before, you might think, yeah, but that's not how it is in my experience. But I'd just like to point out that in truth, that's how it is. The Lord is in you. It's just a question of learning to draw water from the wells of salvation. But that abundance, it just seems to go against the grain. And with the Lord, it's a similar thing. The riches of his grace, which by definition is unearned, can be so hard for us to accept. And it takes revelation from the Lord, a change of mind in order to grasp that it's not about us and our efforts, but it's all about him. He loves us, he saved us, he called us, and he's bringing us to glory because it pleases him. And there's an abundance in everything he does. And that's the characteristic quality, if you like, of the Holy Spirit who is within us. And just like everything else in our Christian walk, this is what I'd like to get across, in this study, that it's a case of having to adopt a different mindset to see things the way our Father says they are. And this is, "And shall be in him a fountain of living water springing up unto everlasting life." And at Pili, it was always hard to get your head around the fact that this water has been flowing from this spot for thousands of years, probably. And there beside the spring, there's the sign saying Pege. Greek letters, of course. And the locals loved it. They reckon you live years if you drink this stuff. That wasn't why we drank it. It was just good stuff. But we also checked with the water board first as to its purity, and it really is good stuff. But this unique quality of a fountain or spring that just keeps on giving typifies the Holy Spirit within us. We can take as much as we want. The supply is there. Although the Lord did say to the disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And that's in John 16, 12 to 15. And most of these references, by the way, are from the New King James. Sometimes I use another one if I want to bring something out of what's being said, but generally it's the New King James. But our walk with the Lord is from faith to faith, isn't it? The Holy Spirit enlightening the eyes of our heart concerning this so great salvation. And there was another chorus that comes to mind, you know, that we used to sing. Do you remember that one? Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Which in the light of this spring of living water within is so far from the truth. In that the supply is one of abundance, limitless, and it's a constant flow. And I think we need to have David's mindset, who said, my cup runs over. There's water to drink, water to wash in. And according to Ezekiel's vision, there's water eventually to swim in. And leading on from this, with the Holy Spirit now dwelling in our heart, it makes you think on what the Lord said. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, you know, the Holy Spirit is within, brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So we see that there's this other aspect now of our words that's linked to living water within, this living water within. And it, in Proverbs, it speaks of this. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a well. That's makor, one of those three words. The mouth of the righteous is a well. So it's a spring of life. That's Proverbs 10, verse 11. And this is the one that's often used metaphorically as it is here. So this is exactly what we've been looking at regarding the Holy Spirit within us, a fountain of life. And now we see our words are coming into play regarding the dispensing of that living water. And then again, a little further in Proverbs 18, this time it says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. And wellspring is makor again. So again, you see, it's figuratively, but it is a spring. That's Proverbs 18, verse 4. And it's not our wisdom, is it? It's the wellspring of wisdom being the Holy Spirit within. There's that scripture. It says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. I should know how to speak a word in season to him is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah 50, verse 4. So now we begin to see that our words convey living water. And the Lord said it. He said the same thing. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. So he's the source. He's the spring within. The flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And do you mind if I just have a little drink? Just to wet the whistle. You know, in the same vicinity of Pili, just a few miles further on in this hilly region, of course, there's another spring called the Vourina Spring. Vourina. And the volume of water, you know, from this one is really staggering. And just to give you some idea, up until 1980, it used to supply all of Kostown's water, which is about 12 miles away, and it was fed through clay pipes. Kostown, which is on the coast, I would say is very much on a par, I would say, with the parish of St. Peterport, for example, you know, regarding size, possibly even larger, and both with a harbour, and both are the principal town. But this, even today, it still supplies 80%, that's what I was reading, 80% of Kostown's water. And so when you factor in tourism, it's mushroomed since the 80s. So you've got hotels, apartments, restaurants, shops, hose down their shop frontage. Did I say restaurants? Restaurants, all the modern appliances, dishwashers, washing machines, showers, car washes, and this one spring is supplying 80% of all that water, and it's good water. And that's every day. And then you think it's been pouring water out like this for thousands of years. It's just staggering. Archaeologists have found evidence of man at this site going back thousands of years. And it was a water board official, I think it was, who said that they reckon the source of the wells were the mountains of Turkey. So although the coast of Turkey is only 5 miles from this little Greek island, the real mountainous regions of Turkey, are about 100 to 200 miles inland. And whether that's true, I can't say, but certainly springs are the result of rain, snow melt. And you think of God's word that falls as the rain, streams and rivers that percolate into the ground. And then under natural pressure, it's forced through substrata and rock fissures. And in this case, even under the seabed, and has found an outlet in such volume, in the hills of this otherwise sun-baked arid island that gets no rainfall for 6 to 8 months of the year. So with the Lord saying that the Holy Spirit is like a fountain springing up into everlasting life within us, it'll never be the case that the supply will cease. We might stop drawing from it, but he'll be with us forever. He's a fountain of life. It's always there. And on a personal level, it certainly makes you look with faith and an increased expectancy and eagerness for God's living word in one's life. Know that his word to us and the leading of his spirit, which is also part and parcel of that spring within. It might seem a million miles away at times and even a rarity, but in truth, it's always there, it's constant, and it's limitless. Anyway, it's really worth a look on Google, the Verena Spring on Cos, and also the one at Pili, Pyli. And if you zoom in on the sign there, you'll see Pege, written in Greek, but there it is. And Pili, by the way, it means gateway. It's years ago, it's a now ruined village of Old Pili, which is nearby, was once the capital of Kos, and it stood guard over the only pass that linked one end of the island with the other. But obviously, JCBs and roads changed all that. But it's worth a look. And the old fortress is there. And I remember in the spring, there would be loads of tortoises wandering about. But it makes me think, when you think of springs, all the different ministries, in particular this Verena one, all the different ministries the Lord provides, such as Joseph Prince, for example, and many others who are like that Verena spring, benefiting thousands. But equally, our words too can be a blessing in that the Holy Spirit is within each one of us. It's the wells of salvation, if you remember, Mayan. Just that simple word of encouragement at the right time that can alter the direction in someone's life. Very often, it's just that first encouragement. For instance, at Jacob's well, like when the Lord was speaking to the Samaritan woman there, all the people afterwards who believed on him as a result of her word. He said of them, he said, "Look, another one is sown, another one is watered, but you're seeing the harvest of what other people have done." And sometimes it's just a simple word. And when you look at the Hebrew text, saying you will draw waters out of the wells, the springs, if you like, of salvation, the word salvation is Yeshua. Yeshua, Jesus. And I know salvation is perfectly correct there, but that doesn't change the fact that the name of Jesus really is in that phrase. And For me, I see this as a reference to the many-membered body of Christ, giving and receiving the Lord's encouragement and anointed word, that he ministers to us. So I'm thinking we should finally get around to reading that passage in John 4, where the Lord spoke with the Samaritan woman beside Jacob's well, which, as I say, was a spring, according to the Greek text, pege. And just to avoid any confusion, apparently Chris reckons the woman's name was Peggy. Peggy is the Greek word for spring or fountain, while the Greek word for well or cistern is phrear, P-H-R-E-A-R. Although, to me, as far as I'm concerned, she'll always be Peggy. And translators have opted for the blanket term of well, which is quite correct, in a sense, but obviously not all wells are springs. And here the Holy Spirit clearly wanted us to be aware that it was spring-fed. And then the Lord makes the comparison between this natural spring and the natural spring that would be within us. It's a deep well, so I don't understand the dynamics of it fully, but scripture says it was spring fed. But only the Darby translation points this out, and he calls it the fountain. As I said before, translators, they favor the word fountain. So that's the word that will yield the best results from a concordance if you want to check things out for yourself, but essentially a spring or fountain being one in the same. Also, when I was preparing this, I happened to come across something that said, according to Orthodox tradition, the name that was given to this woman later on at her baptism was Photini, meaning enlightened. And that's why the present Greek Orthodox church that's built over the site of Jacob's well bears that name, Saint Photini. Apparently, she became quite a notable evangelist. I don't see any reason to doubt that, but I do like that idea, though, of giving someone a new name to mark their new birth. But there's been several buildings over the site prior to this one. They've all been destroyed, in wars or natural disasters. And consequently, a lot of debris has entered the well over time, although it's still a deep well and it still functions as a well. But it was a really nice touch when I happened to come across a new name, because that's what I want to bring out in the study, the unique characteristic of the Holy Spirit, if that's the way to put it, which is one of revelation. Obviously not in the sense that we just end up knowing loads of stuff, because it's fruit, isn't it? The Lord desires for us to bear fruit of the Spirit that glorifies our Father, which is the product of life, of abiding in him. But it's revelation that the Holy Spirit gives through God's word of the Lord Jesus in his finished work that inspires faith and imparts life when we embrace it. Just like Abraham, who believed God's word to him and it was counted to him for righteousness. And the Holy Spirit, he leads us into all the truth, enlightening the eyes of our hearts to see and appreciate our inheritance in Christ, in the things of God. And Paul described it. It describes the new covenant as a ministration of spirit through God's word by the Holy Spirit. And John wrote this. He said, therefore, this is John, 1 John 2, verse 24 to 27. It says, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. So it's just the gospel, isn't it? If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. So that's the Holy Spirit within. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing you teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So, come on, Chris. John chapter 4, Jacob's well and Peggy. So the well was deep. I'm going to have another little swig of water. Excuse me. So that talk of water. So it's a deep well, and the Holy Spirit, when you look at the Greek text, wanted us to be aware that it was spring-fed. You have pege, which is a spring, and you have phreir, which is a well or cistern. So starting at verse 5 of John chapter 4, and I'll just point out those words, as we go through. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well, Pege, was there. Jesus, therefore, wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, Pege. It was about the sixth hour. That's midday. And it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well, Freer, is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, Freer, and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain, pege, of water, springing up into everlasting life. And as I say, that was the verse that was on my heart to share, verse 14, the Lord describing the Holy Spirit within, as a fountain, a spring of living water. And when he spoke this to her, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, obviously it was still something yet to be revealed at the right time, so hence the parable. But this was all about the Holy Spirit that would be given to everyone who would later believe on him. And verse 10 holds the key. It says, if you knew the gift of God, referring to the Holy Spirit, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink. So he's the source, he's the fountain. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So he's referring to the promise of the Spirit through faith in himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So this woman, who obviously was there to draw water at the hottest part of the day in order to avoid people, which is apparent when you read the rest of the story. After this encounter with the Lord, all thoughts of water, people, it's all forgotten, in her obvious excitement. And it says, the woman then left her water pot, the very thing that she'd come out, to get. And she went her way into the city and said to the men, she actually sought people out, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out the city and they came unto him. And I think it's worth pointing out here that little phrase, they came unto him, because it pops up so many times regards to people being saved and being healed. And to the Pharisees, if you remember, he said, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. He's the fountain of life. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the other one, like, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then you've got in verse 40, it says, so when the Samaritans would come to him, is that word, that phrase, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and he went into Galilee. And I think that's a good place to stop for now. And we'll finish off next time rather than try to squeeze in too much. But I'm hoping you can see that it's all about having a different mindset regarding the Lord's presence within. So that rather than fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, to think in terms of abundance and a constancy of supply, a fountain of living water within, that springs up unto everlasting life. And on our part, it's all about learning to draw out of the abundance. And it says, with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. So I'm looking forward to the next time because there's something really interesting there concerning these things in the Old Testament. And we'll be looking at that characteristic of the Lord, which of the Holy Spirit within, which is one of revelation, not just loads of knowledge and stuff like that, but concerning the Lord Jesus. Okay, so I'll leave it there.